Welcome along to the Good Glow podcast, coming to you today from New York. This season of the Good Glow is brought to you with thanks to Boyne Valley Honey, an iconic Irish brand and a cupboard staple that generations of families have grown up with. There's lots in the range to choose from: Boyne Valley Pure and Natural Honey, Raw and Wildflower Honey, Manuka Honey, and the all-new Chili Infused Hot Honey. You've probably seen me use it in lots of recipes on my Instagram. This season, I'm super happy and very, very grateful to be working with Boyne Valley Honey, who've been spreading sunshine since the 1960s. I'm so excited for you to hear my conversation with Bonnie Ryan today. So since I first got to know Bonnie a couple of years ago, we've gotten a little bit closer. So I felt like on today's podcast, we could drop in a little bit deeper. We have a gorgeous conversation about her life in America, and we all know the Ryans are so family orientated, and today Bonnie speaks about that closeness that they have. Of course, her dad is the iconic Jerry Ryan, broadcasting legend, and today she lifts back the curtain on what the realities were like for Jerry in the public eye, constantly under the spotlight. And actually, there's such a beautiful full circle moment in this podcast right at the end where we actually can see the impact that her dad Jerry has had on her life and continues to have on her life every single day. It wasn't an intentional moment in the podcast, but it's a full circle moment that is absolutely stunning, and I can't wait to hear what you think of that. We also speak about her IVF journey, sharing her pregnancy with the world, and how you can open yourself up to really mean comments when you do that. And actually, it was shocking to me that someone who could be so generous with their fertility journey could still be getting negative comments. But Bonnie's light shines so bright in this podcast. I'm so excited for her in her next chapter, starting her new business, getting ready to welcome her first baby into the world. This is The Good Glow with Bonnie Ryan, and I hope you enjoy. So Bonnie Ryan, welcome back to The Good Glow. Sitting here in your new hometown of New York City.
I know.
How are you?
I'm so good. I'm very pregnant right now, so feeling like a bit of a bowling ball. And also just saying, like, I can't believe it's been so long since we recorded the first podcast together. I also feel like I've been so many people since that time.
Really?
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, I still feel like me, but I'm like, isn't it funny how in life, like, I feel like you just go through so many different seasons.
Yes.
And I just feel like I'm in a completely different season of life right now, like, and to the person I was when we spoke then. Both great, like, you know, and I feel like life ebbs and flows, but.
So let's talk about Bonnie Ryan 2026 March, because, you know, the chapters, they come around quick.
Yeah.
We're in New York, where you live. How do you feel in America? Like, does this feel like home?
I think I'm extremely comfortable in New York. Like, I feel really settled here. I also have a lot of our actual, like, real best friends that live here with us. Like the guys who were John's best man and groomsmen and
oh,
stuff.
Really?
And their wives, who I'm really close with, like, they live right beside us. So we have, like, actual best friends who are, like, you know, from our area in Clontarf. And I think that really make somewhere feel a lot more comfortable. Also, the journey home compared to when I was living in California is so much easier, and the time difference is so much better. So that as well, I think, has made me feel a lot more settled. I'd also been to New York numerous times on holidays before I moved here, and I knew it was somewhere that I loved. So I think living here, I'm very, very comfortable here. But when I go home, you're just like, this is home. Like, as in when I'm back in Dublin and I'm going around my area, like, I'm just like, this is home. So I know I will come home, but for right now, this feels like very comfortable.
Tell us about, like, a typical day in New York for Bonnie.
Oh my God, I'm like, I wish it was, like, so glamorous, like, you know, and then by 6 p.m. I'm out, like, drinking cocktails on a rooftop somewhere. Now, the summers are stunning. Like, a summer typical day is different to, like, just my normal, like, average working day. Like, I get, like, my days are still pretty typical to, like, my days at home. Like, I get up in the morning, me and John go on our walk still together in the morning time every day. I literally film from home like every single day, whether it's a fashion video, brand video, makeup video. I'm on my emails, I'm on work calls, and then like I cook dinner and like I watch crap on TV, Mormon Wives or something. Yeah. You know, like my days are like very like just normal life. But then like obviously you're in New York, so like
it's just a little bit more glam. And I, when I think of New Yorkers, I don't think that you guys make dinner. So you actually do make,
Judy, I'm still me. Like I make my dinner. Yeah. But I will say when the summer comes here, you couldn't be somewhere better.
Okay, tell us.
Well, it's just like, oh, it's hard to even go on your evening stroll because like everywhere is just like the windows are open, the doors are open, music is playing.
Ooh.
Everyone's sitting outside and like we'll go on our evening stroll and like John will just kind of look at me and I'm like, oh, we're sitting out for a drink, aren't we? Like it's like, and I'm like, and it's only Wednesday. And I'm like, I said I was going to wait till Friday. So it's just glorious here. Like the weather's stunning. There's something on all the time. I'm just a sucker for looking at the fashion. Like I love going into like Soho at the weekends and just like perching outside like a lovely little wine bar and just watching people go by. And you just feel so inspired by just like the everyday gal, like and what they're wearing. And it is like kind of like watching an episode of Sex and the City, like watching the girls go around. And it does inspire you to kind of try a little bit harder sometimes. Yes. Like, you know, like push yourself a little bit more or experiment a little bit more, because also nobody cares what anybody else is doing here. Mm-hmm. Like there's no judgment. It's like wear what you want, do what you want, be who you want to be. And that's like really exciting.
Yeah. And that I suppose opens your mind to the bigger picture, because I think sometimes at home we can be so worried because it's a village.
Yeah.
Of what people think of us. Yeah. And I suppose for your family, you have always had the outside looking in. So have you been good at detaching from what other people think from an early age?
It's funny. I feel like I used to say when I'd get asked this question, like if someone was like, are you good at like detaching or not, like not looking at what people say or and just kind of doing it for yourself. Like I feel like I used to always be like, oh, yeah, like nothing bothers me. Like I don't care what people say. I've realized like I was obviously just like lying to like trick myself. I think I really do care what people say. So I think the best way to stop that is like trying really hard to not see what people are saying.
Yeah.
Like I don't need to know anybody else's opinion of me.
Would that slow you down, do you think?
I just think like no matter who you are or what you do, if you're reading things that aren't nice or like, you know, who do you think you are? Or like there was something as stupid as like I stay away from all that stuff now. Like I really do. And like it tends to not find its way onto my actual like pages.
Yeah,
I know it's on
for me.
It's on. I know it's out there, mm-hmm. but it doesn't usually make its way to me. Now, this weekend, sadly, it did. And like I saw all these terrible comments and it was from me on my holiday last week. And it was like people just being like basically like vomiting emojis because I had my belly out and they were like, all this kind of, like women vomiting emojis and like put it away, like, you know, eye roll, all this kind of stuff. And then I was like, oh my God, John, like, was I like, I've barely even had my belly out. It's been winter in the snow. Like I have, I was on a holiday, you know? And I was like, oh my God, should I not have put? And he was just like, are you joking me? He was like, Bonnie, think of everything you've gone through to grow that belly. And he was just like, that's ridiculous. He's like, don't pay any attention to it. But you do kind of then go, oh God, do I look like crap? Or do I do?
It makes you second.
It makes you second
guess things, doesn't it?
Totally. And that's just like one small thing, like someone saying something about your appearance or what it is. But it could be anything. It could be like your brand, your podcast, whatever it might be. And they're like, oh, that's crap. But like these people don't know you. And it's one opinion on something. So I think it's really important to try and not let that stuff find its way to you. Don't go looking for it, because no matter how much you think you've built up a thick skin, you can't help but let it get a little bit into your mind.
Of course. And I think it slowed me down for a long time.
Really?
I think so, because it's really hard because you're afraid to say anything then or do anything because you don't want it's you feel like you're inviting it almost, which is absolutely not true. And I don't think the trolling maybe is as bad anymore because I think it was kind of called out a lot. So maybe people are a bit scared. But it's just so awful to think that, especially that you've spoken so bravely about your journey, that anyone could comment.
I know. That's what I was quite surprised about. And as well, that it, the majority of it was from like women as well. Because I've actually had such a positive experience since I told people about what it took for me to get pregnant. Mm-hmm. And like everyone, like I was even nervous about, because like you say, I feel like the more you open yourself up, the more you're allowing people to kind of criticize, I suppose. Mm-hmm. So like I was nervous like to speak about my fertility journey and stuff, but then once I did, like I just had the most positive response from people lifting you up, being like, I'm in that same boat, and like it's so nice to, you know, hear somebody else talking about it who I thought looked like you had it all together. And like, not that this means you don't, but it, I just feel like, okay, well, if she can like be having a good day, I can be having a good day, you know, just like little things like that. So I just think when I saw that, like the nasty messages, you're like, oh, Bonnie, just try and let that go. Because like for the 20,000 people who were rooting for you and are like, yes, like grow that belly, you know, work those hips, girl.
Yeah.
You're like, don't let those like 10 stupid things you saw get into your brain.
Do you think like when you think of your dad's heyday, and obviously he was so treasured by the nation, but he must have had negative comments as well. Do you think that he was aware, or were you ever?
He was extremely aware.
Was he?
People would have had no idea, because when you met him, no matter what was being said, he was the life and soul of a room. Like he walked in and like you never would have known that there was anything that could have got him down. But like he lived and died by the sword. Like when those JLNR figures came out.
Yes.
If he was not better than the last time or whatever it was, he'd come home and like my mum be consoling him and he would be devastated. And she would just be like, it doesn't matter. Like you're as good as you were yesterday. You'll be just as great tomorrow. Like, and so she had to deal with him. He was extremely sensitive. Such a sensitive person, but like nobody would have known that.
Would you guys have known it as kids?
Yeah, I think I would have known. I definitely knew when he was, of course his family was first, always first, and like that meant everything, but like he lived and breathed what he did for his job. He adored it. That was like almost like his sixth child, do you know? Mm-hmm. Like he loved his job so much. And if he got bad feedback on it or something didn't work out, like he did tons and tons of television shows when he was younger before, say, he got to Ryan Confidential, which was one of his last shows, was really great success. Like, and but he had loads of things in the lead up to that from like when he was really young that were flops and didn't work out and got cancelled. That crushed him. And like you'd think he'd just be like, oh, just on to the next thing.
Wow.
But like, you know, like he'd school around the corner, Ryan Town, Let Me Entertain, like all these different shows. And so many of them got cancelled or didn't get the ratings that he wanted them to get. Like, and it wasn't just like brush it off, let's go again. He would do that, which doesn't mean that like he wasn't like hurt by it.
I've just had such an aha moment. That is such a lesson in, like, you're not remembered for your failures. You're remembered for the amazing impact that you have on people. And just when you're saying that, it's like when I think of Jerry Ryan, like I would never have thought of, I don't think I could have thought of one failure, because we just remember the good things. And I think that's a lesson for all of us in our life. Like, don't be afraid to take the risks. Don't be afraid to fail, because 100%. No one's going to remember in 20 years.
But that's literally it. It's like, and that's why I kind of, with anything I do, I'm just like, okay, so what's the worst thing that can happen here?
Yeah.
It doesn't work out and it's a flop. Okay, well then go again, try something else. And I probably do get that kind of mentality from my dad, because I knew that he had done so many other things before he got to be where he was. like he was so successful, and like the things that he had like towards the end of his career were incredibly successful, but like there was a whole lot of crap before that, like to get to where he wanted to be. And you just have to kind of keep going.
Obviously we're close now and we can talk about things, but I remember I was in work in the newsroom the day that your dad passed away.
I feel like everyone kind of knows, well, any Irish person kind of has their...
They know where they were.
Yeah.
And I remember, obviously, I was really young in the newsroom. So I'd never kind of experienced anything like it before. And I saw, I suppose, how the Irish media worked in that moment, which was 2FM were going to be the first people to break the news, and then all the other radio stations would follow. Mm. But do you remember that day, or is it all a blur? Do you remember every single second of it, or where are you at with it now?
Every single second.
Every single second.
Every second of it. And it's funny, it's the weirdest, I knew. It was the strange thing, like once I was taken out of school, I knew the thing that I was about to get told was that my dad was dead. Even though there was no reason for me to have thought that. Like, I had been texting my dad the day before and I was going to see him that weekend. And I was in fifth year, it was the end of fifth year in school. And I got in the car and I went home, and nobody in my family even had to say anything. Like, you know, they were just waiting for me to get back from school. Like, my little brother was still on his way. My little sister hadn't left yet. And they just, like, we all just like looked at each other and we're just like, we've like lost the best person I've ever known. And it's just like the blood just leaves your body.
Mm.
And there's no possible way to prepare for that.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, I don't know. It was just, I can actually feel how I felt.
Yeah.
When I talk about like the things that were said, and I just remember everything. And then within being home a few minutes, like I think it started coming out on the news. And John just rang me straight away.
Oh, God, because John was around then.
Yeah, we're together since we're babies, like, and he just rang me. And he just said, he was in the library in school, and he just said, I'm on my way. And that's all he said. And then he was there within a few minutes. And I remember just answering my front door to him. The hug he gave me that day is, like, ingrained in my memory for the rest of my life. And I just was like, okay, I've, like, lost my dad. But like, I know that this person is going to now look after me like for the rest of my life.
Oh my God, I'm actually crying.
I feel like I'm going to cry. Stop. My hormones.
And it's so nice that he knew your dad then.
Yeah. Now look, he was a baby when he knew my dad.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm so glad that he did as well, because like I feel like he just knows like who my dad was. I'm so glad that like my dad got to meet him, and my dad now will always know the person that I'm going to be with forever, which is really, really nice.
Yeah.
And yeah, thank God, because he did look after me. Like, he's the thing like that got me through all of that. Because obviously, like, your family and everything, we all banded around each other.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I just feel so lucky that I had somebody on the outside of it as well who could take me on the very worst days. And I didn't mind putting that on him, because he wasn't going through his parent dying, you know. Mm-hmm. Like my, like with my siblings, like you felt like sometimes I felt like I need to try and be like really strong for them.
Yeah.
And even if I was having a bad day, and same for my mom, like you don't want to put that on them, because what if they're having a really bad day too? Mm-hmm. And you try mm-hmm. and uplift each other. And I think we all felt like that. But it was nice that I had somebody else as well who, on the bad days, could take it. They could handle me at my worst. Like,
yeah, he was like your escape.
Yeah, exactly.
And do you think that, I don't even know if it would have been possible for you guys to get even closer, but did you at that time?
Yeah, we did. We've always been an extremely close family. Like, we were still going on summer holidays when people were turning 20 and stuff. Like, we'd all go on the summer holiday. Like, and we'd be so excited for it. Like, we'd choose that over, you know, Lottie was choosing that over going away with friends, like going away on like our summer holidays together. And even then, when my dad passed away, I just feel like it was just like this thing that we all went through together, that we were like, no one else is going to ever understand this. And of course, people, other people lose someone they love and they lose parents. But I just mean like what we were going through and the person that we lost. It just, like, I don't need my family to say anything. I know what they're doing at all times. I know what they want to say to me. I know when I'm pissing them
off.
What's
your family WhatsApp group called?
Oh, so funny. It's actually got, well, we have two. We have one that has like all of the partners and stuff in it.
Okay.
But then the family one is just called The Family.
The Family.
Yeah.
Mine's called Respect the Family.
Oh, intense.
Yeah, it is intense. It like is. It was meant to be a joke, but now we're 10 years
now
down.
Serious.
And obviously your podcast with Lottie is brilliant because it's a kind of behind the curtains with you guys. And I think you're each other's safe space.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff you guys are talking about on the podcast that probably when you finish recording, you're like, did we actually just have that really personal conversation?
Yeah.
You know, to the masses. Have you enjoyed that? Like opening up with Lottie?
Yeah, I love it because I feel like for me, like, I'm quite an open book, like when I'm on my social media. Like, obviously, there's just Bonnie who's not on social media. But like the version of me on social media is quite a true representation yeah. of myself. Whereas for Lottie, I feel like because she works in the media, like she has to be a bit more. Well, she just, like, she's not doing the entertainment news telling them what she was at for the weekend.
Or yeah, like, you know, it has to be a bit more zipped up.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there is a bit of a difference, like. So I think it's really fun for me to get to show people as well, like, the way she just is, like, on an everyday. And also, like, her as a sister role.
Yeah, and she's quite protective of you. I think you can tell in the podcast.
Mm.
And a couple of months ago, you opened up about your fertility journey on the yeah. podcast. And I don't know if you had planned to.
No, I didn't.
It just came out.
It
and then you just said,
out.
Just publish it. Just go with it.
I just
and
said,
it got such a reaction.
Yeah, I was shocked, to be honest. That was just another day where we just said, hit record and let's just see what happens. And we were just chatting and it just kind of came out. And then as I was talking, it just all started to unravel, like what I was saying. Like I was like, just, it was all out on the table, which is actually like, it felt nice though. Like I felt like I was just like, oh, I felt like I was kind of carrying it around for so long.
Mm-hmm.
And I was really happy to just kind of say it. And like, I know you've obviously gone through your own fertility thing in a different way, but I don't know, once people kind of know, you're just like, oh, okay.
Because like, I think you could, sometimes with the fertility stuff, it's so sensitive because you don't want to say something as if you're representing
exactly.
all women.
Yeah.
And so I can see why with your platform and all the incredible women yeah. that follow you, that it is sensitive.
And you're just, yeah, you're not sure even when the right time is to say it, because I had thought about saying something like a while before, but I felt like I was so deep in it at the time, as in like when I ended up saying it, I actually only just found out I was pregnant, but Lottie didn't know. Like, she thought I wasn't pregnant yet. But I feel like being pregnant, it kind of gave me, I don't know, I just felt a little bit more settled. I kind of felt like, obviously I was still really scared that like something could go wrong, but it just gave me a little bit more like, okay, well, like I've gotten pregnant. So like, even if something does go wrong, like hopefully, like I can see that there's like light at the end of the tunnel in this journey. And I feel like if I'd spoken about it before, like I had been so depressed in the year before, like, and so stressed about it. And I don't know if I would have been any use to anybody talking about it. I didn't feel like I had anything positive to say about it. Like I couldn't see the flare from the weeds or
yeah.
whatever. Like I was just so
in it
that like I felt like I had nothing that was in any way joyful to talk about.
And just for anyone who, I suppose, didn't listen to that episode of the podcast or isn't aware of your fertility journey, like how do you describe it to people? Just say you bump into a complete stranger. Like, what do you say?
We had been trying for a few years and then ended up looking into getting some help. They said the best thing for me to do, and probably my only chance at this point right now, was that I did IVF. We went through a full round and shockingly, to my surprise, didn't get any embryos, which I couldn't believe. Didn't even know that was an option. Like, I thought they just waved the magic IVF wand and they give you loads of embryos and then just put the embryo in you and you're just pregnant. Like, and so, yeah, that was really tough. And then we went for it again and we did get a few. And thankfully, the one that we used, we ended up getting pregnant with. So, but like, what a roller coaster. Like, because even like going through it for the second time, I ended up having to go back to Ireland because like doing it in America is just so expensive. And we had done it once in America and it obviously didn't work out. So then we were like, okay, I'm going to have to go do it in Ireland. But that meant leaving John because he doesn't have a flexible job like me. So then I was going to Ireland to do it on my own. And nobody really knew that I was kind of...
No one knew.
Like my family knew, but I hadn't told them I did it the first time.
Okay.
I told them after. But I only told them after because John was like, I really think that you should tell your family because I was quite depressed after. And he was like, I think you need to tell your family because like I was just like diverting all calls, not like for weeks and weeks, didn't want to speak to anybody. And that's so unlike me. And I was like, I think that they were starting to get worried. They're like, what the hell's going on with her? Like, and so then I ended up telling them. And then when we decided we'd go again, I went back to Ireland to do it. And I ended up having to stay with my mom for a while. She's the best ever. But like, it just wasn't an ideal situation. I love my mom. But like my brother was also living there with his girlfriend in the apartment. And we were all in the trenches together there for a couple of weeks, and poor John was back in New York and I went through the process again in Ireland.
And did you feel less hopeful the second time? Like, I'm trying to understand when you said that you kind of hit that really bad patch after the first time. Is it hard to feel hopeful then going into it again?
I think I felt more realistic. Like, I felt like I kind of went into it maybe the first time a bit blind, like just thinking, okay, they've said that this is my way to get pregnant and this is just what's going to happen and I'm going to get pregnant.
Yeah.
But I feel like the second time I was a lot more knowledgeable and I just kind of had mentally prepared myself a lot better going into it. And whether that means I was hopeful or not, I just felt more prepared in myself. Like I knew what I was getting myself into. I'd done it already and I knew the different outcomes that could come from it. But the only thing is, it's so weird. It's like so many people will message me now that I've opened up about it and they're like, was there anything you did the second time
differently?
And I'm like, I honestly just think it's luck. Like sometimes I just think there's so much luck involved because the first time I did it, I went in blind. I was physically in a good place. I was like, you know, ready to take it on. It was as if I was training for a marathon. Like I was like, let's do this. And I didn't get anything. And then I was very depressed after that. And then the second time I went and did it, I was like a shell of myself. My body was totally giving up on me. I was so frail. I was sick. I got pneumonia. I got two other viruses. I nearly lost my hearing in one of my ears. I got so sick. Like, I just got everything I could have possibly gotten. And then I got pregnant.
And when you did the pregnancy test then, or got your, how did you find out if you want to share that?
Yeah, I did a pregnancy test. It was funny because I flew back to Ireland, implanted, and then I flew back the next day. And you have to wait like 10 days roughly to 2 weeks before you can test. I'd say it was day 11 and I was just like, I can't wait another second. And I was just like, John, we have to do it. And like, it's fun. Like, I was just like, okay, look, we sat on the couch. I think it was a Sunday. And I was just like, look, if we turn this around and it says no, we're not pregnant, it's okay. We've more at home, chilling on ice. We told everyone Christmas anyway. Nobody's going to know.
Yes.
Like, what are the chances first time anyway? It's going to work. And I was like, but if it does work, you know, happy days.
A short break to thank Boyne Valley Honey for supporting the Good Glow this season. Boyne Valley Honey is a cupboard staple that my family love. Jamie puts it on his toast in the morning, the girls love it in their smoothies, and I love the hot honey on a pizza. For recipe inspiration, head over to their Instagram page at Boyne Valley Honey. From hot honey chicken wings to porridge drizzled in Ireland's favourite honey, Boyne Valley Honey really is a cupboard staple. Whether it's part of your morning routine or something you reach for when you need a little boost, you'll find Boyne Valley Honey in stores nationwide.
And we were just like sitting in the couch in our apartment, and I've always thought, like, you know, when you find out you're pregnant, like that moment is going to be like the fireworks go off, you're like conga line, and you know, like you're like, you know, it's just like this, like, what?
Yeah.
And it's like, and especially because of everything we had been through. So we're like waiting, and then I was like, okay, I'll turn around. And I turned around, it said pregnant. And I was just like, we just kind of like started like laughing. And then we just kind of went silent. And I was just like, whoa, I never actually let my mind get to the part where
it happens.
It happens. We were like silent. And I was like, well, we go on a walk. And he was like, yeah, okay. And we got dressed. I think we walked for 6 hours and barely said anything. Like, we were just...
Where did you walk to for 6 hours?
We just walked up and down Brooklyn. Like, for, I mean, for hours, Georgie.
Oh.
And we just kind of every few minutes would like look each... And just look at each other and go... And just start laughing. And I was like, oh my God. And so we were on a high, but like a shocked high. Mm. Like, this has worked. And then from then pure terror set in again for me. I was like, oh my God, I hope this for real. Like, I hope this lasts. Like, I hope I don't miscarry. And so many things go through your mind. So my first trimester, I was so scared. And we had so many scares as well along the way. So I was glad that like we kept it to ourselves until I was like, I was halfway when I told my family. Because I just felt so much more confident and settled in the pregnancy at that point. But like, it's so funny. It's like, I don't know, you just think like that moment you're going to be like, whoa.
Yeah.
And inside, like I couldn't be happier. Like, it was the best. I'd say like that's probably the best moment of my whole life when we turned it around and we saw we were pregnant. Like, I can't wait. But like, you're just also like, oh.
So talk to us then about like having a baby in America. Are you going to have support? Like, you're going to an American maternity hospital.
Yeah.
How do you feel about it all?
I think I've been in and out of hospitals so much over the last few years that like everything just kind of feels like, no, just the next thing at this point. In terms of like, you know, having the baby here, like in the hospitals and stuff, everything's been great like so far. Thank God. But like, it's definitely a funny feeling knowing like my baby will arrive and like my family won't be calling over like the next day. That's strange. And my mom actually just booked flights. She's going to come over. Like, if she could have been here the day I was giving birth. But I was like, Mum, maybe actually do just give us like a minute to breathe and figure this out. So she's going to come over like 2 or 3 weeks later.
Okay.
And give us a little bit of a dig out for a week or so and get to meet the baby. And then as soon as we can get a passport, we'll come home.
Tell us then, how does it feel, I suppose, going into this new chapter? And I know we spoke the last time about little signs that you get from your dad and you're always looking out for them. Like, do you feel like he has your back always still?
Yeah, I do. I like, it's a funny one because I feel like at this point in my life, like I've actually like lived longer without him than with him. And sometimes like I go through months and months where like, I feel bad for saying this, but you don't like really think about them too much. Like, you know, and that's a protective thing, I think, is that like, so you can get on with life. Like, you don't want to be grieving somebody every single day. Like, but I definitely think now that I'm about to become a parent, I'm feeling him a lot at the moment. And like, even when I see little things, like John was laughing at me the other night, we're watching Gordon Ramsay's documentary.
Yeah.
And he's like, with his daughter who's like 25, like she's not even like a child, and she's like getting her chef's outfit or something, and he's taking photos and saying how proud he is of her. I was hysterical, and John was like, oh my God, what's wrong? Like, I don't cry. And he's like, what's wrong? And I was like, oh, I want my dad. Like, I want my dad here to be like saying to me, Bon, this is so cool, like you're about to become a mom. And I was like, so like, there are certain times where I'm like, oh, it's so annoying that he's not here. But I also know, like, there's no way as well that he's missing out on this.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and whether that is like...
Oh, I love that. You know, there's no way he's missing out on this. Well, that's
he,
so good.
I just feel like he couldn't be. Like, he could, like... Whether you, I don't even know what I believe in. Like, I don't know if I believe in anything after. I don't know really what I believe in at all. But I just feel like there's no way he doesn't know what this chapter of my life holds. And I think for myself, I have to think that because I'm like, I want him to know. So I have to tell myself there's no way he doesn't know that I'm about to become a mum. And that this next chapter is happening. Obviously, it would be amazing if he was actually here for it. But yeah, I'm sure my baby is going to hold so many qualities of him, like in the way that I think that Lottie's son will hold so many qualities of him. He'll be a part of like my family forever, like whether he's here or not.
Oh, that's so beautiful, Bonnie. And as well, like something I was just thinking there is like the dad energy is about to re-enter your life because you get to see the person you love the most in the world become a dad. And so that is also going to be gorgeous for you because you'll be reminded of your great dad, seeing John be a great dad, and it's so beautiful. So let's talk about your brand. I'm so excited for you. I know that you're such a perfectionist. So many years have gone into this before you even launched it. So tell us about it.
So yes, it is called Studio 92 and it is a fashion brand. We've started out with eyewear. I say we all the time, like it's literally me. Like it is me building the website. It was me sending out the packages, me doing the designs. I kind of always knew going into the world that I work in, I wanted something tangible one day. Like I wanted to build a community and a following that would love something I make.
Yes.
And I think it was like, God, around the time when I was getting married, I was like, okay, I feel like I'm at a place now where like I want more in like the creative process and building of my own brand. And I started to be like, okay, I really need to then hone in on exactly what this is going to be and what it's going to look like. It took way longer than it was supposed to, but that's okay. Cause I'm like, I'm literally doing it on my own and I've learned so much along the way. Like I've funded it myself. So obviously like that's going to take time. Cause like, you know, you've got bills to pay and then every little cent extra you make, I was putting away. I learned so much about the design process that, you know, how much samples cost. And, you know, I really did everything from scratch. Like, so they'd have to open molds, which cost hundreds just to get like one mold. And then like you get your sample and you think it's going to be perfect first time around. You're like, oh my God, it's not what I thought it was going to be. And you have to go all over again. That can take months and months. So I've learned so much about starting a brand. But I just knew that I had to get it to a place where the main thing is the product and that the product is something that when that is in like the customer's hand, that I could stand by 100% and be like, I couldn't have made it a better quality. Mm-hmm. Like I had to know that like when they go out, people were going to be like, well, it is really good. Like, you know? It has been the biggest undertaking ever, but the most rewarding thing I've ever done.
Wow.
And I've only started very, very small. Like there's so far for me to go, but just having it out and launched now is like the best feeling in the world. And I'm like, look, of course I'm going to make mistakes as I go along, but like I'm learning and like I have something that I'm so excited about and to see what's to come from it. Like I'll be like lying in bed at like 12 o'clock, I'll wake up and I'll just start going on my phone and like designing things and John will just roll over and be like, are you serious? And I'm like, but I'm excited.
Oh, I'm like, I have that feeling.
Oh, it's the best feeling. Like, cause you know, sometimes you can get a little bit complacent in the things you're doing and you can just, you're kind of, sometimes you're just doing, you know? And I feel like right now I'm like, I'm so excited. I'm so proud of what I've launched. I really see this being my thing forever. Like it's not just just like a small thing I want to do right now. I'm like, yes, it's small, and but I just see it being my thing forever.
And you've really brought people on the journey, you know, with that, yeah, with your brand. And just, I suppose the last question I have for you is, when it comes to taking the plunge with something like that, you know, like taking a bet on yourself, following your heart, your dreams, like the promises you've made to yourself, you may never feel ready. Or do we ever feel ready? What gave you the courage to just go for it?
I don't think, like, I didn't feel ready 2 weeks ago when I launched it. Like, there were a million things I was thinking, like, why I should postpone and why I shouldn't do it and blah, blah, blah. I don't know if you'll ever feel fully, fully ready if when you're doing something like this. But I just kept telling myself, like, and it's the same thing that I've said in so many other times in my life when I've wanted to maybe pivot or change career growing up or whatever it might have been, is like, nobody's that interested in you. Nobody really cares that much.
Yes, or they're not watching that closely.
Yeah, like, you know, when that brand launches, of course, like, yes, there's people and they care so much and they're going to buy from the brand and that's all really exciting. But as in, like, if something doesn't work or you launch something and it's not the best success ever, people are living their own lives. Like, they're not living, watching your life as, like, their day-to-day TV show and they know everything you do. Like, they really don't care that much. Like, yes, if they see your thing, they're like, oh, hey, maybe I'll get that. But like, if something doesn't work, it's like, it's not taking up like brain time in someone else's mind. Do you know what I mean? It's like,
oh my God, my mind is actually blown, because we've done a full 360 back to what we said at the start about, yeah, your dad's failures, yeah, in inverted commas, yeah, that nobody noticed.
But that's exactly it, though, isn't it? It's just like, I follow everything you do. But like, you could also be doing something that you're like, oh, that's not worked out at all the way I thought it was going to do. I'm not in your bedroom at night with you. So like, I don't know.
Was Jamie would probably happily swap places so that you could be my shoulder to cry on instead.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it's, yes, like, I don't know to the extent of what you wanted something to be or what you wanted it to look like or what success is to you. Success to me could have been selling one pair of those glasses, mm-hmm, and I'm like, it's a success. A failure to me could have been I didn't sell 10,000 of them. Nobody knows like the scale of what anybody's doing or what the failure or success is to you. They're not with you every minute of the day. And that's why it's just like, they're also doing their own thing. So just go for it, because nobody's paying as much attention to you as you think they are.
And life is short and we only get one chance.
Yeah.
And you don't want to look back and have any regrets. Bonnie Ryan, you are one of my favorite people. Thank you so much for sitting down with me in New York for a gorgeous chat. And it's really inspired me. I'm going to be thinking about it for a long time. So thank you so much.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, a huge thank you to Bonnie Ryan for sitting down with me in New York. It felt so nice to just be in a different city recording an episode of The Good Glow. So I really hope you enjoy that. And I hope you enjoy Easter wherever you are in the world. Myself and Jamie are actually doing bonus episodes this season. So if you missed the bonus episode last Wednesday, we sat down and we dissected my Suzanne Jackson episode. Myself and Jamie used to work with Suzanne back in 98FM. So we talked about our biggest takeaways from that episode. We also spoke about our own family life, how we're getting on this year. So if you missed that episode, don't forget to catch up. I will leave a link right at the top of the show notes for this one. And myself and Jamie will be back on Wednesday to talk about this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. We've two rooms left on our running retreat in St. Ives, Cornwall in June. We've lots of people coming on that retreat alone. We're going to do coastal runs, meditation, sea swims. I'll leave a link in the show notes with all the information on that. And happy Easter. I hope you're feeling good this week. Always love your feedback, so feel free to drop me a DM on Instagram. And a huge thanks to Boyne Valley Honey for supporting The Good Glow this season.